Is there unclaimed money out there with your name on it? Finding it might be easier than you think. Hi, I'm Rob West. It's hard to imagine, but every year, millions of dollars in assets go unclaimed. These are things like insurance benefits or inheritances, and some of it might be yours. I'll tell you how to find it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Now, I want to be clear that I'm not encouraging you to have a get-rich-quick attitude about this. Proverbs 13:11 warns, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." If you do find unclaimed money in your name, I hope you'll manage it wisely. Okay, let's start with life insurance policies. They're lost more often than you think. Sometimes survivors aren't aware that a policy exists. Paperwork gets lost. Important insurance papers might accidentally get tossed out. The National Association of Insurance Commissioners, or NAIC, says that each year millions of dollars in insurance benefits go unclaimed. So how do you find out if you're the beneficiary of a lost insurance policy? Well, the NAIC has an online tool called the Life Insurance Policy Locator Service. It lets you search nationwide for policies and annuities left behind by deceased family members and friends. You'll need a death certificate to get started. Then you type in some basic information: the deceased's Social Security number, full legal name, date of birth, and date of death. If there's a match, the insurance company holding the policy will contact you within 90 days. That is, if you're a designated beneficiary or legal representative of the deceased. Since 2016, the Policy Locator Service has matched over $1 billion in benefits to the folks who should get them. Now, since all insurance is regulated at the state level, several states have their own lost policy locator services. You can check directly with the state insurance commissioner in the state where the deceased lived to see what additional search options are available. You might be wondering how insurance benefits go unclaimed. Well, life insurance companies have access to databases that alert them when a policyholder dies. But that doesn't mean they always find the beneficiary. If you're a designated beneficiary on a policy and the company can't locate you, well, they're required to turn those funds over to the unclaimed property office in the state where the deceased lived. That office is generally located in the state's Treasury Department, so that's another place to check for unclaimed benefits or other assets. Many states have online tools to help you identify unclaimed property in your name. Now, if you're a policy holder, you can save your loved ones a lot of grief by taking some preventative steps. Keep your beneficiary designations up to date and make sure the insurer has their latest contact information. Let the beneficiaries know that they're named in your policy and give them contact information for your insurer or agent or both. And always keep the latest copy of your policy with your estate papers. And a great place to store those documents is in a fireproof safe. Okay, now let's say there actually is unclaimed money out there with your name on it, insurance benefits or otherwise. You may not even know about it. This could be almost any type of unclaimed funds, like pension plans, 401ks, bank accounts, IRS refunds, and savings bonds. There might be uncashed checks, CDs, trust funds, utility deposits, stocks and bonds, wages, and even the contents of safe deposit boxes. There's another great resource for tracking down those assets. People move around a lot, and it's possible to have assets in several states. So a good place to start is at missingmoney.com. It's sponsored by the National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators and allows you to search more than one state at a time. When there's a match in any state, missingmoney.com gives you information and links to official websites where you can file a claim. And finally, the federal government also has a tool for tracking down unclaimed money that Uncle Sam or anyone else might owe you. This includes tax refunds, benefits from VA life insurance policies, court settlements, bankruptcies, and more. We'll put a link to that site and all the others we've mentioned in today's show notes. So now, if there's money out there in your name, you know how to find it. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. By the way, if you have a testimony you'd like to share with us, maybe God's faithfulness in your life financially as you've applied these principles, we'd love to hear that as well. Again, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Years ago, we would host Easter egg hunts at our house. I'm not sure how many hunts will occur this year with the rising cost of eggs, but this was a highlight for our family. It may seem silly, but Easter egg hunts can be used to remind us of the gospel. Next time you have a hunt, look at the joy and laughs that are shared between family and friends. This is a picture of peace, wouldn't you say? Ephesians 2 reminds us that the death of Jesus had a purpose. Listen to verse 15. His purpose was to create himself, one new humanity, out of the two, thus making peace. While sin seeks to destroy relationships, Christ's death brings reconciliation, peace, and joy. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. All right, we've got some phone lines open. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever you're thinking about financially. The number to call is 800-525-7000. You'll get right through. Our team is standing by, and we'll get you on the air quickly at 800-525-7000. Before we head to the phones today in the news, if you're thinking about putting your home on the market, you'd better get ready. Realtor.com reports that the best week to list a house is fast approaching. It's April 16th. To the 22nd. Here's what the data shows. Houses listed during that week are likely to be priced about $8,500 higher than the average week of the year and almost $50,000 higher than a few months ago. This is home buying season as the mortgage rates have ticked down ever so slightly. That combined with folks wanting to get out there in the spring, get their home purchased before the next school year, makes this the opportune time for you to list your home. If you're thinking about doing it, I'd connect with your realtor and get ready. Also, if you're looking to buy a home and you need some mortgage services, be sure to check out our underwriter Movement Mortgage. They are reinventing the mortgage process, serving people really well, but their heart for the gospel is incredible in what they're doing literally around the globe to build schools, with their corporate profits is amazing. You can learn more about Movement Mortgage at movement.com/faith, and you can check it out today. All right, the lines are filling quickly. We've got one or two open still, 800-525-7000 with your financial questions or your testimonies of how God has been at work in your financial life. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's begin in Ohio. Hi, Renee. How can I help you?
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm calling because I have a question. I have been blessed, retired a few years ago, and I have about $700,000 in IRAs and 403B funds available. And I've been consulting with a financial advisor who recently suggested putting a little over $500,000 of that into an index annuity. And I've always kind of heard that in annuities are not a great strategy, but
yes,
just kind of trying to see if, you know, that might be, I know things change over time.
Sure.
So if there's, you know, some benefit to the index annuity, I do have a pension and get Social Security that I'm able to live on. So I really, I don't really, quote, you know, specifically need the money in order to survive, but I do have to take my RMDs every year now.
Yes.
I've been doing that for a couple of years. So
very good. Couple of thoughts. Number one, I would tend to agree with you, Renee, that this is not the best option for you. There's a saying that annuities are bought. They're not, or excuse me, they aren't bought, they're sold. And what that means is people typically don't go out looking for annuities. Normally somebody's selling them an annuity. And that's not to say they have no place or anybody trying to sell you an annuity is doing it for some reason other than they believe that it's the very best thing for you. I just don't think for most folks it is the best thing, primarily because number one, you know, it's very expensive. There's a lot of fees associated with them. Number two, you limit your upside potential, so you give up the ability to see this money grow in exchange for the downside protection. And then thirdly, you lose access to your money. So if you needed to be able to get to that money because of some major expense, long-term care, or any number of other things, you're limited in how you can access it. Now, where they can be effective is if someone enters this season of life and they say, you know what, the income sources I have, Social Security, maybe a small pension, it's not enough for me to make up my lifestyle. And so I want to transfer the risk of a retirement asset to an insurance company in exchange for a monthly income stream that's going to shore up what my monthly shortfall is. So I know that for the rest of my life or for the rest of my life and my spouse, we're going to have enough income to meet our obligations. We don't have to think about the market. We can, you know, just transfer that risk to an insurance company and get peace of mind with that. That might be a reason to consider one. I'm not hearing that, though, in your situation. If I understand correctly, Renee, your pension plus Social Security without touching this roughly $700,000 in retirement assets is enough to cover your bills. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah. Yes. So the idea that you would then take this money, which is truly surplus, park it in an insurance company, pay out a huge commission to the person selling it to you, lose access to the money to get some downside protection, but limited upside growth in the indexed annuity, I just don't think makes any sense at all. And I would question even why it's being suggested. So I think your best option here, especially since this is already in a tax-deferred environment, you're already growing this on a tax-deferred basis, is just to leave it right where it is and have it managed in a way that's consistent with your, you know, age, your lifestyle, your risk tolerance, where God is taking you and what he's doing in your life, all of those things combined. Let me ask you, who is giving oversight to the investments that have been selected in this 401k? Are you doing that or do you have somebody making those decisions for you?
Pretty much me. I do have a person that, you know, it's kind of supposed to be a manager, but we don't really communicate on a regular basis. So
would you have more peace of mind, Renee, knowing that somebody was helping you make those buy and sell decisions, or are you comfortable where it's currently positioned?
I'm pretty comfortable. I just kind of lucked up in terms of things actually going fairly well, you know, even with the various changes in the market. But
very good.
I've just kind of feel the need to, you know, maybe just have some expert advice going forward.
Yeah, very good. Well, so what you may want to do, again, if you decided to go ahead with the annuity, that's completely your call. I would probably pass on it. If you want some expert help from somebody who not only has significant experience, but really understands a biblical worldview of money and can bring that to bear into their advice and counsel, that's why we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. You could search for the CKAs there in Ohio at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA. I'd interview two or three, tell them what you're looking for, find the one that's the most you're most comfortable with, and then you could have somebody that would be that sounding board if you're looking for someone else that could weigh in on this. But I'd probably pass on the annuity just based on everything I'm hearing. I would also direct you to a recent broadcast we did on this topic. The title of the broadcast was The Scoop on Annuities, and my friend Mike Miller joined me. Mike's a Certified Kingdom Advisor, and we just talked about annuities, and you'll hear some of the same things I just mentioned, but in a little more detail. And you could look for that episode of Faith and Finance at our website, faithfi.com, or in the FaithFi app. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. This has been very helpful.
All right, Renee, thanks for your call today, and God bless you. We appreciate it very much. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to take a quick break here in just a moment. Ann and Keith, I hope you can stay right there. I'd love to chat with you on the other side of this break. Quickly, an email. These come in to us at askrob@faithfi.com. David writes to us, what do you advise concerning planning and paying for our funeral arrangements prior to our deaths? I'm 80. My wife is 78. We don't want this to be a burden on each other or our children. And David, we usually recommend not getting prepaid funeral plans for three reasons. Number one, your money won't earn interest and as it would if you kept it in a savings account. Number two, funeral homes can go out of business. You can lose your money. And three, there's no provision for relocation. If you should move for any reason, the plan typically won't move with you. So best to save the money, and then you can specify in your will what arrangements you'd like, and your executor can carry out your wishes. That's our best advice. 800-525-7000. Back with much more just around the corner. Stay with us.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
So thankful to have you today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hey, are you wanting to stay on top of your budget a little more closely? Maybe you find there's more month than money. Well, the FaithFi app can help you with that, with a clear insight into where your spending is at any point during the month using the digital envelope system. You'll find that you're in control of your finances in a way perhaps you've never been before. Connect securely to all of your institutions, download your transactions automatically using the digital envelope system in our modern, beautiful interface. You'll find that perhaps you and your wife or you and your husband will be on the same page now with regard to your finances, to control your spending so you can free up that margin to accomplish the goals that God has given you. If you'd like to learn more about the FaithFi app and how you can manage your spending plan, just check out our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click app, or you can search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance, in your app store, wherever you download apps today. All right, back to the phones we go to Mississippi. Hi, Ann. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Thank you for having me. I was taking notes just right quick, the scoop on annuities and then the three reasons not to get a prepaid funeral is because the funeral home could go out of business, the money won't grow like it would in a savings account. Mm-hmm. And what was the other?
Well, the third reason is there's no provision for relocation. So if you should move or your plans change, the plan won't move with you. And so you're kind of locked in would be another reason. Yes, ma'am.
I see. And then my question is, I heard you, I believe, one time say that we could exercise our right by voting.
Yes, ma'am.
I've gotten this vote in the mail now from Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
And it lists 13 members of the board, which I don't know them from Adam.
Sure.
And the ability of principal global investors. Mm. And then on this letter it came with it, it said was PFT, Principal Funds, PFI Incorporated. Mm-hmm. Okay. After careful consideration, the board of directors unanimously recommends the shareholders vote for both proposals, including for all director nominees. Well, that makes me wonder why was it unanimously?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's a good question. And obviously, I don't know the details of those particular provisions. I think, first of all, I'm delighted that you're actually reading it. Most people just take those and toss them away. And every now and then, there are issues that are being voted on that are important. So a good example would be, we just talked to our friend Jerry Boyer last Friday, who's very involved in this type of work, about one of the biggest banks in the country. You'd know the name. And there was a proposal put forward to put on the ballot consideration of the fact that they have been actively debanking certain organizations that they believe, they don't align with their values. They happen to be Christian organizations. And these shareholders were putting forward this vote saying, wait a minute, this is not good for business that we're canceling customers just because they happen to be supporting Christian causes. And as shareholders, we think this is something we shouldn't be engaged in. The bank said, we don't want to put that on the ballot. The SEC came back and said, yes, you will. And it may not pass, but the fact that it will be there for an up or down vote is a big deal. And, you know, this is a way as believers we can step in and step forward when we own shares of companies. You're an owner of those companies, and so you have a voice. It's a small voice, but that plus all the other voices matter. So depending upon the issues that are on the ballot, I think you at least need to be reading as you are, what are those issues so you can vote? You know, are they considering, you know, the Equality Act? Are they promoting certain things that don't align with your values? So you want to be able to express your values. Now, beyond that, the other steps you can take would be, number one, having an advisor who is engaged in this kind of work and can be part of your voice for you to helping you assimilate some of these questions and be able to respond appropriately in alignment with your values. And then thirdly, you could use investments where the stated purpose of the investments is to promote kingdom building activities and human flourishing and avoid companies that are misaligned with Christian values. So I think you can take any of those approaches. I'm delighted that you're at least reading it and expressing your values. I can't tell you whether or not this particular slate of directors or these particular provisions, you should vote one way or the other just because I'm not familiar enough with them, but I'm glad you're reading them. And I think if you continue to do that, you may find issues that you do understand and that you can express your values in the future. And I think that's a very important role that you have as a shareholder. Does all that make sense, though?
Yes, and I usually throw them away, but for some reason I opened it. And can I ask you one more thing?
Of course. Yes, ma'am.
Really, it's probably more important, but I'm 70, and I have my Wells Fargo. When I retired, I was with Fidelity, and I wish I'd have stayed with them, but I went with Wells Fargo.
Okay.
And on my portfolio summary, it has that pie figure and showing you cash, stocks, ETFs, fixed income, mutual funds, unit investment funds. And I've got the percentages. For instance, 45% is in mutual funds, and then 25% is in unit investment trust, which I don't know what that is. And then 20% is in stocks, options, and ETFs, and only 9% is in cash and sweep balances. So I think that's all of it. Yes, 100%.
Okay.
So I probably went too fast, but.
Yeah, so you're just wondering whether that's an appropriate allocation for you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm 70.
Yeah. And sure. And so run through that again real quick for me. So the portion that's in stocks is how much?
20%.
Okay. And the UIT, Unit Investment Trust?
Is 25%.
Okay.
Mutual funds, 45%. And cash is 9%.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so it would be hard for me to know because the UITs and the mutual funds can all have a mix of stocks and bonds. So really what it comes down to is what is the mix of stocks and bonds you have? You know, somebody who is 70 years old, you would probably want somewhere between 30 and 40% in stocks and somewhere between 60 and 70% in bonds. Stay on the line. We'll finish off the air and we'll be right back with more questions.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Dr. Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Did you know that there's a way to attend seminary where you don't have to write papers and you don't have to get graded? When you audit a course, you get to participate in the course and learn without earning the degree. You can sign up to audit any course at Wesley Biblical Seminary for only $250. Whether it's discipleship or the Old Testament or theology, you can audit a course this coming semester. Go to wbs.edu to sign up to audit. That's wbs.edu.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Why is it that the Bible warns against loving money? Remember, it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, when we crave money, that can lead us away from our faith in God. It can become an idol. When we love money, we never really have enough. And when we love money, it brings up all kinds of dangers in our lives. And so we need to be on our guard against buying into the messages of this world that really make money an end as opposed to a means to an end, and keep our perspective built on the eternal, which will last. The things of this world will not. And that's what we want to encourage you to do on this program each day, as we're hopeful and encouraging, helping you apply biblical wisdom to your daily financial decisions and choices. The number to call today, we've got a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. Keith, you've been waiting patiently in New York. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Rob.
Sure.
Calling you from a WHBC area here in Hudson Valley.
Great.
You do a great job. I wanted to find out about what everything that you know about investing in physical gold bars.
Yeah. Well, I like gold. I am always cautious when folks are going to be too highly concentrated in the precious metals. I think this is a time to be at the upper end of your range for gold, but typically that range for me is not more than 10%, 15% at the most. Because this is a fear trade. Yes, it does perform well in times of uncertainty. It's a store of value. If you're questioning just kind of the soundness of our fiat currency, I can understand why you'd want to have it. The challenge is it doesn't perform as well over the long haul. It's been more volatile and has had less performance than a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. It's difficult to sell it for the price you'd like to get. It's sold retail and bought wholesale. It doesn't earn interest, so it's an asset class that doesn't have the ability to earn interest like a stock or would, or even a bond. There's the cost of storage if you're taking physical possession, the dealer markups. You know, for that reason, I like it if you're going to buy and hold it for a long time. I just want to make sure you're not going to get too overweighted in the precious metals for me, just based on all of those reasons. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with you on what you're saying there, but I wasn't looking to make it the bulk of my investment. I don't have that much to invest. I figured maybe I'd get 5 ounces, would bring me about 10,000, and sure, I could store it in my safe deposit box at the bank.
Yeah,
and it just seems that the value of gold right now is going up a lot higher than the what I'm losing on inflation.
Yeah.
Because in the past month, it's gone up roughly 11% to $200. It's up around $2,000 per ounce right now.
Yeah.
So if we could, invest about $10,000 into it, and just keep it in the bank there, and in a couple of years, we'll see how it is, because it just seems like gold is always going up eventually.
Yeah.
It just seems like a good thing to have money in, because the banks aren't paying me any money. And I agree, well, maybe a little bit of gold can help just as a little offset, something to leave my grandkids.
Yeah. You know, I certainly can appreciate that, and I like the approach you're taking. Clearly, this is the time where in the cycle where gold does perform well. There's uncertainty and volatility are very high. You know, we've got the prospect of a recession coming this year. We've just got other issues going on right now with the banking system and, you know, geopolitical issues, you know, internationally. So, you know, as we look at the various cycles going back all the way to the 1920s, there are always cycles, and gold typically does better in times like we're in right now, although each one is different. So I'm not surprised that gold is performing the way that it is, but I'm just saying, looking over the long haul, if we go back to every 10-year period since the early 1920s, a stock and bond portfolio with a long-term perspective is going to do better, and I don't see that changing. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't have an allocation to gold. So doing it in the way you're talking about, buying it and holding it for a long time, using a safe deposit box at the bank, it's often a great way to store gold bullion bars or coins, using it as a way to, you know, give away to the next generation. I like that a lot. So I'm not hearing anything, Keith, that causes me any concern with your approach.
Okay. That sounds great, Robert. I want to thank you very much. And by the way, if you have any interest in some valuable swampland in Florida, I can help you out.
Okay, I'll make a note of that and get back to you if I ever need that. I grew up not too far from that swampland, so I know it well. I'm from South Florida myself, so I've spent some time out there in the Florida Everglades. Hey, God bless you, Keith. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. To Arkansas, Teresa, you've been patient as well. Go right ahead.
Good morning. You were discussing earlier about unclaimed funds. Yeah. I was contacted by a letter by a private investigator that said, and he listed the lady's name and said, you may be kin to her. She has unclaimed funds. I called out of curiosity, mm-hmm. and everything he knew about me, I was kind of suspicious because I was thinking maybe he could have gotten that from the obituary. Yeah. He knew some things about my brothers. And anyway, I asked him to send me some information on himself. He did that, but it really wasn't valuable information. And it's been 2 years, and I still keep getting letters from him about this person. And I don't know if it's a scam or not.
Yeah. Well, I don't either, but let me just tell you this. Unfortunately, scam artists do use the prospect of unclaimed money to steal victims' identities or money. So you should never give out personal information to anyone who calls you. You should never send money to someone who calls you. By law, Teresa, financial institutions and companies holding unclaimed funds and property must try to find the people the assets belong to. And if they succeed, they typically send out notifications by the U.S. mail, not by phone call. And it would be directly, not through a private investigator. When they can't find the people, the money's then turned over to the treasury of the state in which the account owner last resided, and the state treasurers and other officials then attempt to find the rightful owners. They don't use the phone or email to get in touch. They wouldn't even have your email address or phone number. So did the private investigator say who he or she was working for?
Himself. And the person that he mentioned, I told him I had no idea who that was. And okay. He said, well, my stepfather could have had kinfolk, but I just had in the pit of my stomach that something it's usually not right.
Yes, I would follow that check that you have in your spirit. Now, if they say they're working for the executor of an estate, then you could contact that executor directly. Often it's someone at a financial institution. But I think just based on everything I'm hearing, that doesn't sit right with me either. I'd probably pass on it. And go ahead and use the means that we provided today in the opening segment in terms of, you know, you could check out unclaimed money. You could look at, the life insurance policy locator service. I mean, there's other ways that you can go through the normal channels to see if there is, in fact, something out there. But I'd probably resist any request by this individual to provide information.
Well, the fact that if he continues to send me this letter, I don't know how to get him to stop.
Yeah, I'd probably do that in writing and just say, listen, please
cease all contact with me and send it by certified mail, and that should do the trick, I would hope. But I think you've made a good decision here, Teresa. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. Back with much more on Faith and Finance just around the corner. Stay with us.
Abraham Hamilton III.
God put us in this world at this time to be salt and light. We don't fool because of the darkness that we're facing. This is not the first time in the world's history that it's gotten dark. God has called you and I to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Mom is a face washer, a coupon clipper, and a listening ear. She's a diaper changer, a laundry folder, and a mender of hearts. She's a master juggler of the jobs of the day. She's simply incredible and incredibly busy. At 1 Million Moms, we understand the hurried pace of the average mom. That's why we've made it so easy for you to take a stand against the trash that's in today's media. Visit 1millionmoms.com.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Did you know there's thousands and thousands of Christians in the FaithFi community, and they connect with each other in our FaithFi community? Yeah, that's right. You can head to faithfi.com, click the community tab, and jump into the latest discussion. Every day, stewards like you are posting questions, sharing ideas, and helping each other be a more faithful steward of God's resources. Again, head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And just click the community button, and you can participate in the conversation today. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Andrew. Thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Oh, good morning, sir, and God bless you. And thank you for what you do very much, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So let me set the table just a little bit so it makes my question kind of make more sense.
Yeah.
I'm 55, and my wife is 48. I'm retired military, and I work for the railroad now, and we're retiring in about 10 years from the railroad. My wife works as an assistant teacher at the middle school here, and we just bought a house, and I've come into a sum of about $40,000. And so we were debating and weren't sure if it was better to use that money to pay off our two cars, or put that money towards the house, refinance it, or if there's a third better option.
Yeah, I like that. We don't want to get in what we call a binary trap where we just put two ideas against each other and then miss out on the possibility there may be a third or a fourth idea whenever
right.
We're thinking through our financial decisions. So that's good. So just make sure I understand. You've come into this $40,000. You just bought this house recently. What is that home worth?
$313,000.
Okay, and what is your mortgage today? Oh, I lost you for a second. Try that again.
It's $2,300 a month.
Oh, okay. But the total balance on the mortgage?
Well, we've only made two payments on the house.
Okay. Well, what did you borrow?
We borrowed $330.
Oh, you have 100% financing.
That's correct.
Okay. And what is your interest rate?
4.7%.
4.7. Okay, which is not bad. I mean, if you were to refinance today, you'd be up north of 6, especially with no equity. And then let me ask you, beyond that, what do you have in liquid savings other than the $40,000 you just came into?
About $22,000.
Okay. And what are your monthly bills running roughly?
With the new house payment now, we're running about, about $4,600 a month.
Okay. Yeah. So let's call it $5,000. So if we wanted 3 months expenses, we'd need $15,000. If we wanted 6 months expenses, we need a full $30,000, and you're at $22,000 today. Beyond that, you've got car debt. What's the total of the debt between the two cars?
Between the two cars, it's $33,000.
Okay. And then are you saving for retirement at one or both of your places of employment?
Yes, sir. I receive military retirement, and then we'll receive railroad retirement when I retire in 10 years.
Okay. And what about your wife? Is she participating in a retirement plan of some kind?
No. Yes, through the school, but it's, you know, practically nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Does get, you know, the railroad has a tier one and tier two. So I'll get my railroad retirement, and then whatever that works out to be, she gets a check for half of that as
okay.
well.
Yeah, very good. So have you run the numbers? Do you think, and by the way, what is your age roughly?
55.
Oh, right. You mentioned that. She's 48. Yeah. So you guys still have plenty of time here. And do you feel like that between your military retirement and your railroad retirement, that plus Social Security, if you're still are available to you, that you'll have enough to cover your lifestyle in retirement?
And that was my concern, because I think we will. I mean, of course, scaling back a few non-essentials here and there. But that was the concern, because I'm thinking it's going to be fairly close.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the question is, should we take this and start funding some Roth IRAs? Because you're thinking you're going to work for another 10 years and maybe more for her.
Yes,
is that
sir.
Right?
Yes, sir. She'll probably work at the school for probably at least another 15, if not 20 years. But, okay. but she only brings home about, you know, after taxes and everything, about $1,800 a month.
Okay. All right. Very good. And what is you, as you, the two of you talk about it, which would give you the greatest peace of mind? I mean, I'm going to give you my thoughts in a second, but I just want to know kind of where you guys are at on how to use this money.
I kind of was erring toward making the house payment lower so it would be more manageable when I retired. But yeah. I didn't know if it would really make enough dent to do that.
Yeah, I don't like that idea, Andrew, just because, number one, the interest rate's going to go up. Number two, there's going to be a cost. So you're probably going to, you know, it could run you $10,000 for the new mortgage, 3%, just the cost of the mortgage
wow.
itself. You know, plus now you're at a higher interest rate. So even though you're knocking $40,000 off of it, you're probably going to have the same monthly payment. So I really don't like that option. I think if you are going to refinance, you're going to want to wait until probably a few years down the road where you've got some equity, and or interest rates are lower than they are today, hopefully back near the 3% target. Because if you can save a point and a quarter, and you know, then it might make some sense. But right now, you're going to be going up on that interest rate. So for me, I think I'm happy with the $22,000 emergency savings. I'd probably pay off one of those cars, and then take that money and use that extra money you have every month to pay extra toward the mortgage. That you're freeing up by getting rid of that car payment, and then maybe take the balance and drop it in a Roth IRA. And if you could do that for the next 10 years and, you know, fund a Roth IRA, now you've got an extra nest egg alongside your two retirements to be able to supplement your retirement income.
Oh, wow. I always assumed I was, quote unquote, too old to start that.
No, I don't think so. I mean, if your CPA says you'd benefit more from a traditional IRA, you could do that. But I think, you know, given that you've got a decade, the stock market is down, so you could participate in the upside as it grows. I think that would be great. But if you guys say, you know what, we just really want to dump debt, then I would say go after and pay off both cars And you could still put $7,000 in a Roth IRA, and you'd have no car payments whatsoever. The only question then would be, how long are those cars going to last, and do we need to take some of that surplus now and start building up another fund to buy your next car, so you don't have to take on debt the next time around? That would be another option. But I'd love to get that mortgage balance down a little quicker, given that you did the 100% financing.
Okay, yeah, we did the VA loan, 100% financing, nothing down. Yeah. Okay, sir. Well, I appreciate that very much. I will definitely sit down and talk about this with my wife.
I think that's the key, is you guys talk through it, pray through it, and see where the Lord leads. You're making some great decisions here. It sounds like you guys will be in a great situation, and I love the fact that you've got options, right? But certainly want you to do what makes the most sense to you. Thanks for calling. God bless you, my friend. Let's head to Michigan. Hey, Ron, you've been very patient. I understand you have a comment. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Rob, for taking my call. I just wanted to weigh in on annuities.
Okay.
And really pretty much agree with what you had shared. And let me just share, I had an elderly grandfather that, between his pension and Social Security, things were still a little bit tight. And you're right, he was approached about buying an annuity. He didn't go out looking for one.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a little homework on his behalf because he didn't know anything about it. So
sure.
Just wanted to share that they're marketed as guaranteed income for life.
Yeah.
And that be the case, you don't get to decide what the monthly income is. The insurance company does that.
Right.
And once you annuitize, the term is annuitization, once you annuitize an annuity, you forfeit total control of the money over to the insurance company.
Yeah.
In other words, you might get $600 a month, but if you needed $900 for a new hot water heater, you could not call them up and say, hey, send me $900 out of my account.
Yes.
The guaranteed income for life is the amount that's set. So at the end of the day, Rob, they seem to be pretty complicated or complex for many, many people. And I'm with you. I would never say never, but not a real big fan of them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Ron. I appreciate you weighing in on that. You're exactly right. I love the fact that you did that homework for your dad. I think you've hit on probably the biggest drawback, and that is loss of access to your capital, which in that season of life, who knows, right? I mean, nursing home care could run $100,000 a year, and you may need that for a couple of years before the Lord calls you home. And now I don't have access to my money. And, I think you're exactly right. The limit to the access to the money, the expenses and the fees, the loss of the upside. If it's an indexed annuity, you're not getting the full benefit, which is, that compounding is really what helps to give you those long-term positive returns. I mean, I think there's just a lot of drawbacks, and not to mention the complexity. I mean, it's kind of like, you're buying a house. I mean, you got to just scour pages and pages of complicated legalese to figure out even what you're buying. So I think you're exactly right, Ron. I appreciate you being a part of the program today. I know that's been helpful for somebody listening today. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling. Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. Man, it's always my joy just to come alongside you each day, to be an encouragement to you, to mine the scriptures, to remind you that God is on the throne and that He's the creator of everything, that everything belongs to Him. And we've been given a high calling to be money managers for the King of Kings. So we want to be faithful in that. What does that look like? Well, we've got to go back to His Word, because there's all kinds of principles and big ideas that we can apply to our lives so we can be that faithful steward, hearing one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Hey, I couldn't do this without my team today. Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, Jim Henry, and my amazing guys and lady that serve us so well here each day. So thankful that you were along here also. I'm Rob West, and on behalf of everyone here at Faith and Finance, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.